Well, what started out as a decent type of trade day ended up seeing some backing up as we headed to the close. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Jacob Burks joins us today with AgMarket.net. So let's talk about this move that we saw within the grain complex. I think there was a smidge of optimism this morning.
Well, it's more of a roller coaster a little bit, Susan, because now that the trading day starts on Sunday night, we had a lot of pressure coming into today with the whole tariff situation and coming from the Trump tariffs being voted down by the Supreme Court on Friday. There was some pressure started early or last night and into early morning. But then optimism really rang through. We had the bean market went all the way up here in the front month up to 11:50 here. So we had a very strong day. And then as we went through the last part of the lunch break here, we started seeing some major bear spreading going on from the old crop to new crop here. We still see that the new crop is going to end up closing positive here, still above 11:17 area as we speak, and the front months are down about 3. So corn has been the steady Eddie. We've seen it up as much as 6 cents or so on throughout the day, and it's gonna stay right here at unchanged to slightly higher. But that's been kind of the solid trade. It's been pretty boring, pretty inactive. But we did make some new highs for the move in the new crop, so that's encouraging.
Do we see some? I mean, obviously, there's some got to be focus now. We've moved past the Ag Outlook Forum. The next big thing on the radar has got to be the report here at the end of March on the 31st with prospective planning.
And you can get a pretty wide variance if you start surveying some. Even surveying producers in a non-scientific way and start looking at some of the seed reps and what we're seeing going on. The variances I've heard anywhere from more than we saw last year in corn to all the way down to 91 million acres. So it's not unlikely to see that going in to that planting intentions report to see a wide variance. But I think this year with the cost of production that we're seeing, I thought that we would see less corn than last year. But man, is as we've seen. This get closer and closer to the planting dates, and just talking with some customers, I don't know that we're not going to see that 96 million acre mark go back in on the corn, which would still be 2 million acres less. The problem that you have here, I think the first thing I'll look at on that report is what's that combination between corn and soybeans. The largest combination we've had, corn plus soybeans, has been like 180.3, and don't quote me on that number, but that's somewhere in that level of 180 million acres of corn and soybeans combined. There's talk this year that we could see that over 81. And the main problem we have is some of these outside crops, cotton, rice in the south, some of the canola in the north, and some of these smaller crops. They're not doing their job to keep those acres in that crop. And so a lot of that's still anticipated coming to corn and beans. So that'll be a big question of what that total number is.
How much of outside financial pressure ended up kind of filtering into our agricultural complex for the day?
Well, I think that safe haven was kind of the key word for the day. When you start looking at, the dollar index was down probably 14, 15 points here. The stock market was down 680 points or so. And the metals were back up. You started seeing quite a bit of volatility. Over 140 points higher in the gold. You got over $5 higher in the silver. I often look at that as, okay, when's that type of safety net going to come into the grains and buying physical grains? And I do feel like there was some of that happening this morning as we rallied through the day with beans. I can't say that there was just a whole lot of it done. But I do think that when you look at that where money flow goes and you see it coming out of the stock market, I do believe that there was some that trickled into the grains today.
All right, let's look at the livestock side of the trade action and the cattle. I mean, I don't want to say it, but could we possibly have a temporary top in place on the markets today?
I think the one thing that I've looked at, that has been a solid, thing for guidance level for me in the feeder cattle, this is only the first day since December, that this April feeder cattle contract is going to close below the 20-day moving average. We have rode that 20-day moving average up from the first day of December all the way up till today. We bounced off of that thing several times, And today we're going to end up closing below it. I mean, if you look at the same type of story in the live cattle, you don't have as much divine along the moving average. But if you look at the trend that we've seen over the last 2 months, again, today is going to be a day that, that we settle right at or below that, that level. So you're starting to have some technical breakdown in this move. And that does, it starts to signal a topping formation. I'm going to be far from calling that a top. And the main reason is because of what cash is doing. I mean, we haven't seen a cash trade today, but last week we were, we were seeing a very wide range. But at the end of the week, after the trade on Friday, we're hearing stories of 240 and some small, very small cases up to upwards of 250. So it's really hard for me to say, hey, this feeder cattle deal is over. I mean, we were wondering, a year ago if we'd ever see $2, and now we're talking 250, and where does this thing stop? So I don't look at this as having to be a topping form, but if we see some pressure on it, I think that it's just going to go back down to what is the Packers going to end up doing. When you start hearing strikes, you start hearing closing of plants, them guys running at a negative price like this for this long, there will be some changes starting to happen.
Well, Jacob, that was going to be my next question to you, is where are we at when it comes to, Packers operating margins? Obviously, they have to be in the negative somewhere along the way.
Yeah, we've stayed negative for long, and I'm not looking at the numbers right now, so it won't be hard to reach a number, but we've seen a triple-digit loss per head with these guys for a long time, and it's really, really hard to just hang on to market share for that long until you start seeing some very big changes that come along. This idea of seeing a strike, nobody wants that to happen in their plant, but if it happens to somebody else, it's okay, because that changes the whole dynamics of what this cattle market looks like. And so I think that's something very, very big to watch. And I feel like throughout the day, we were seeing, I haven't seen anything hit the wire, news wires yet, that say what the, what this is going to look like. If we've had any negotiation, if we have any that type of fix to it. But I do feel like that's an extremely important part of what happens in our cash trade right now. It looks to me like they got a flight. The facilities are built down in Texas, ready to put more screw worm production in place. And so, any type of talk of that border getting opened up here because the screw worm situation's in place, that's something else that we'll have to watch as well.
And I found out last week that we're seeing a lot more production picking up in Mexico, because, the cattle have to be processed. If they can't ship them across the border, they're going to have to do it right there in those communities.
Yeah, you can only maintain so long, and I wish I could go down there and see what this actually looks like. And I've seen the lots in Mexico before, and the vastness and what they look like in them crossing the border. But to see them trying to manage fat cattle and trying to manage this processing of this many head of cattle, there's a reason why they don't do it on a day-to-day basis. So when you boil it all down and you start looking at the USMC agreement and beef coming across as opposed to cattle, it makes sense. I mean, it makes sense for us as much corn as we've sent down there to them. There had to be something more than maintaining. But that's a different dynamic of how that goes and what that processing looks like. And it's just not, the system's not built for that, if you will. And so a slow flow of cattle coming across here, I think would be something that would be not welcomed, but okay. I mean, we know it's going to happen sometime. I just don't want to see everything happen to where it comes in a big flood. I think that really does a number to the market in a negative way.
All right, Jacob Burks joining us today with AgMarket.net. Quick note, you all are heading down here to San Antonio for Commodity Classic, correct?
Absolutely, yeah. We'll be, we had a booth set up there. We'll have all of our partners will be there. We'll have a lot of fun and opportunity to win a gun too, Susan. So come on by and sign up for a free gun.
All right, sounds good. Well, of course, we'll be running into these folks during this year's Commodity Classic. A quick reminder to everybody, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. That's the Monday market wrap-up right here on the American Ag Network.